Our second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through the first part of verse 5. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So every year, right around Christmas time, Jen and I wait until the kids have gone to bed, and then we go downstairs into the playroom for the great toy purge. We go through all of their toys, decide which ones we are going to keep, which ones we're going to donate to charity, and which ones are just so far gone that we have to get rid of them. The idea is that before they get new toys for Christmas, we have to get rid of the old ones so that we have room to keep all the new ones. Now, I will be the first one to tell you that I absolutely hate doing this. It is so tedious and time-consuming, and there are other things I would rather be doing with my evening. But I do realize the necessity of it, especially this year, because this year we didn't do the great toy purge before Christmas. To Jen's credit, she's nodding her head, to Jen's credit, she tried, but I was like, no, not tonight, we've got plenty of time to do that, and guess what, we didn't. Christmas came, the kids got new toys, and we had not yet cleared out a place to put them, so things became cluttered. As we come to the end of this year, we run into something similar with our lives. We're about to begin this new year filled with new possibilities. And I know that, like we said in the prayer of confession, it's not as easy as turning the page on a calendar. We don't become totally new people just because the earth has completed another orbit around the sun. But God created the world with these natural rhythms and cycles that give our lives order and meaning. And there's a sense in which the beginning of a new year provides us with an opportunity to start over. You know, we make resolutions. I want to be this kind of person this year. But resolutions are about what we want to do. And this, what we're talking about here today, it's about what God is doing in this world, in us, through us. And to make room for that, we need to take inventory of our lives. What in our lives do we need to keep? What practices and attitudes and things about ourselves are worth holding on to and carrying with us into this new year? What do we need to get rid of? What in our lives is keeping us from being the people that God created and calls us to be? For some of us, this past year has been a hard one. There's been pain and sadness, challenges. We've lost jobs, lost abilities, lost people we love. We've seen suffering and injustice and conflict in the world around us, and that weighs on us. Some of you might be very glad to see this year coming to an end. For others, this past year has been a good one. I mean, maybe you got the healing that you had been hoping for, or a new job, or a new life entered your family, or a new relationship entered your life. As this year ends, some of us might want to keep things right where they are. But the reality is, God is going to do a new thing this year. Because God always does new things day by day. And that's the central promise that we hear in both of these scripture readings. In Isaiah, it's, I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth. And in Revelation, it's, see, I am making all things new. God is in the business of redeeming and restoring and making new. So as we stand before God on this New Year's Eve, the question before us is, what in our lives do we need to let go of so that we can make room for the new thing that God is doing in us and among us? You know, it's easy to hear these scripture readings as kind of almost generic platitudes. God's doing a new thing, and so any new thing that happens, well, that must be something that God is doing. But both of these promises are rooted in very specific contexts. In Isaiah, we talked about this back at the beginning of Advent. At this point in Isaiah, the people of Israel have just come back to Israel after spending decades in exile, living in foreign lands. Their cities and their temple have been destroyed. Many of their friends and family members have been killed. They have been hoping and praying for this day of homecoming for decades, and now it is finally here, and it is a disaster. They're standing there looking at the ruins of their home, their temple. And God says to them in all of that, all this that you see here, I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things, all the pain and suffering and sadness that you have had to endure, it won't even be remembered. It won't come to mind. I will create Jerusalem. What you see right now, I will create Jerusalem as a joy. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime, for one who dies at 100 years will be considered young. God is setting right all that has gone wrong over the past decades. This promise that God is making to them takes the pain and suffering that they have endured and says, you know what? We're going to leave that behind. I'm not even going to remember it, because something better is coming. And we get something similar in Revelation. You know, a lot of times we don't know quite what to do with Revelation because it's filled with such frightening, confusing imagery. But this part that we read today, it's like the culmination of the entire book. This is the high point. It has all been building up to this moment. And the vision and the promise that we find here is incredibly hopeful and comforting. Revelation was written around the year 100 AD, a time when Christians were beginning to experience some significant persecution at the hands of the Roman Empire. They're being arrested, thrown in jail, beaten, and killed. John, the author of Revelation, is writing this while imprisoned, and he's doing it to encourage his fellow Christians to stay strong and keep the faith. So they are enduring suffering, fear, oppression, uncertainty. And in the midst of all of that, John has this vision of God fulfilling the promise that was made through Isaiah. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. So a quick aside right here. The sea in ancient Jewish and early Christian theology was a symbol of chaos and separation from God. When God first created the world back in Genesis, it says that the all of creation was just this swirling, formless void of chaotic waters. And then God spoke and brought order into that chaos, separated the waters. So when God created the world, God created the heavens above and the earth below, and they were separated by a dome, the sky, and a sea. If you look back at Genesis, you'll see that a sea separates the heavens and the earth. So the sea represented this barrier between heaven and earth, God and human beings. But now, here, the sea is no more. the barrier between heaven and earth, the separation between God and human beings is gone. And John hears a voice from heaven that says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And God says, "See, I am making all things new." So in the midst of the suffering and persecution that these Christians have been experiencing, they get this promise that God is going to set right all that is wrong. An end to death and mourning and crying and pain, because God is making everything new. God is saying to the people of Israel and to the church, "I am going to heal the world. I'm not just going to rebuild Jerusalem or not just set the church free. I am going to transform heaven and earth itself and your very understanding of life. And all of the pain and suffering that you have been carrying with you for so long, you won't need to hold on to that anymore. You can let go of it to take hold of this new thing that I am inviting you to live into." The process of healing the world began in the birth of Jesus. In him, heaven has come to earth, the home of God is among mortals, and the separation between God and human beings is gone. In Christ, this world and our lives are being made new. Now, obviously, there's still sin and suffering and pain and death. This world has not been fully healed and redeemed and made new. The process of healing the world began in the birth of Jesus. It continued in the death and resurrection of Christ, God's victory over the powers of sin and death. And we are still waiting for this process to be completed. Our actions will not bring about its completion. Only God can do that. But we are being invited to live into it, to participate in the healing of the world. It's like Shane Claiborne says, "We believe so much that another world is possible that we cannot help but begin living in it now." Even as we wait for the healing of the world, we live in ways that show the world that this healing is coming. And in a sense, it is here. And so where we have experienced pain and suffering and persecution and loss in our own lives or in the lives of others, where we see it in the world around us and carry it with us, where we experience that, we are being invited to lay it aside and be a part of this new world that God is creating. Not to ignore it where we see it in the world, but not to hold on to it in such a way that it has a hold on us. What do you need to let go of to do that? Disappointment? A failure in this past year or in years past? Anger? Fear? A grudge? An addiction? The pain of an old loss, an attitude or belief that is no longer serving you well, prejudice, an unhealthy relationship. What do you need to let go of to move into this new thing that God is doing? Sometimes it's even something good that we have to let go of in order to live into something better. I heard the story this past week of Anna Muzychik, a 27-year-old woman from Ukraine who holds 2 world chess championships. Winning them a year ago, she said, was the happiest moment of her life. It was like the pinnacle of her professional life. She gave both of them up this past week and cost herself millions of dollars by refusing to compete in the world chess championships in Saudi Arabia. as a protest against the treatment of women there. She had to let go of the most important thing in her life because she thought that doing so could help create a better world for others. How can we help God in the healing of this world? How can we help make this world new in some small, simple way, even for just one other person? Author N.T. Wright says that every act of love, gratitude, and kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and delight in the beauty of God's creation, every minute spent teaching a child to read or walk, every act of care and nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, every prayer, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world, all of this, he says, will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. What kind of person is God calling you to be in this new year? What kind of world do you want to live in? What do you need to let go of here on the last day of this year to take hold of the new thing that God is doing in us and among us in Christ? Amen. Great and glorious God, with the hours that are left in this year, make us mindful of who you are calling us to be, how you are calling us to be. Help us to see the ways in which we can partner with you in the healing of this world, the healing of the lives of others around us. May we walk into this new year with you, our hearts and minds set on you, our eyes open to the new thing that you are surely doing among us. We long to be made new, for this world to be made new. That process began in Jesus. May it continue today in us. We give you thanks for this year past. We ask your blessing on this year to come, that we might be a part of that blessing for others. In Jesus' name, amen.